You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is good to, yes, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. It is so good to be back. I just want to say that apologies for this look. We just got out last night, and I haven't had a chance to have a haircut or look fresh for you. So this is a bit of an ISO look here. So my sincere apologies for that. The Nguyen's have been so blessed by the grace of God. We should have been in quarantine for 14 days, but by the grace of God and God working through Mark McGowan, we only had 7 days of quarantine, so we were let off the hook this morning, just in time for Vision Sunday. So I want to just say thank you so much to Mark McGowan. Thank you so much to God for his love, and to you, seriously, for just releasing our family to take time away. There's so many people to thank. I'm not going to go through you all because I will forget you, but I just want to say thank you to the elders, to the executive leadership team, to the staff, to the ministry heads, every single one of you, for allowing me to go away for 15 weeks to turn off my emails, disconnect, turn off my WhatsApp, and not even look at my phone, and just really refresh and just reset. And I want to say thank you so much for allowing us to do that, and it means the world that you would release me to do that. So what I want to do this morning is I want to just spend a bit of time telling you what I've been doing over the last 15 weeks away, and then share vision 2022, and then commission leaders. Is that okay? So I'll just give you some highlights of what we did, and I've got some pictures on the screen here so you can see what the Nguyen got up to. Firstly, we lived in Noosa. We lived in Noosa. We rented a house in Noosa. I had to break the lease. I had to understand what it meant to do a bond clean. I've never done that before. The miracle of God in allowing us to find a place in Noosa. Check this out, Sun Life Church. The landlord, the agent, was reading a book concerning a pastor who was taking sabbatical. She lists this house up on a Friday. God told her to hold everything. Don't look at the applications, the 25 application, and just wait. Monday morning, I call her up from Perth, telling her my situation. A pastor trying to find a place to rent on sabbatical. 24 hours after that, I signed the contract, and that's my house. I know. How good is God? Yeah, I know. I know. I know. I know. And so people in Noosa were like, how did you find a place right in the center of Noosa Heads? And I'm like, yeah, God. You know, it's not me. It was God. So we had a great time to live in Noosa. Secondly, there was a first of many things. First of many things is next slide here. You see, we did our first Christmas. Next slide, first Christmas, first Boxing Day, first New Year, first Australia Day in Noosa, first birthdays in Noosa. In fact, if we were not released out this morning, it would have been the first Valentine's in isolation. That's tomorrow, by the way, for those who are married. It was just a first of everything. It was just so good. God was so kind that we could explore, just life outside WA. So that was the kids, and that was us just having, a family photo, having Christmas in Noosa. There were plenty of times for Tran and I to do life together with the kids. So we did a lot of road trips. We went up to the Whitsundays. We did a lot of walks. Next slide, you can see that we just had fun together. And I know that my life as a pastor here gets pretty busy. For those who know that, I do a lot of work outside of Sun Life Church as well. There's a lot of things that I do. And I was so blessed that God gave me the time to spend time with Tran and the kids. And we just really loved each other's presence. And it was really good for the kids. A lot of beach Moore Beach. You can tell by my beautiful tan. A lot of time in the beach. So it was really, really good. Fourthly, here's another highlight here. I was known as Ben. Ben was my name. The barista. I didn't give them my real name. So no one knew that I was Pastor Ben, but I was Barista Ben. It was really good. I found a part-time job in Noosa working at a very nice cafe. And the people in the community knew me, and they were seeing the shops. Hey, Ben, hey, you make some good coffee. Hey, Ben. It was really, really good. I know. I don't know whether that's considered a lie or not. I don't know, all right? I worked in the church. I found a local church I was part of. I was Ben also. I served on the kitchen. But apparently, this is real, the last Sunday at Noosa Church when I was serving, one of the worship leaders came to me and said, I should have been a detective. I said, what do you mean by that? Because I know who you are. Because you're a pastor in Perth. And I said, how did you find that out? And he said to me, well, we've got some Vietnamese friends looking at your age in your mid-40s. Your name is probably Bin and not Ben. So we did a Google search on Bin Nguyen Perth, and the first thing came out was Sun Life Church. So I was so embarrassed. Hashtag red face. But praise God that I was on the plane the next week to leave Noosa, so it was really good. but honestly, it was just great just to not be a pastor and just be a Christian and just to go and serve and just be part of the community. And lastly, a great opportunity just to see old friends. If you don't know, these are some Sun Lifers in Queensland, just waiting for me to start Sun Life Church Queensland. All right, now it was good to see them and just to spend some good time together. So we had many other highlights and memories, but I just want to say thank you so much that the experience we had as a family was simply by your generosity in releasing us and doing what you do here. And we come back refreshed. I'm excited to open up the Book of Mark with you next week and spend the entire year going through the Book of Mark. It's a huge book, and my goal this year here is to help you and I explore this amazing servant, this amazing Savior, and how that's going to help us be better followers of Jesus Christ. And that's my goal for this year here. But thank you so much again from the bottom of our hearts, from Tran and the kids and myself, for releasing us to do what we can do. And I am so excited to be back here preaching. Hey, by the way, this is the first sermon that I'm going to preach in 15 weeks. So I'm a bit nervous, but hopefully I should be okay. All right. Now, if you have your Bible with you, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. This is the passage that God spoke to me back in May last year for Vision 2022. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. The passage of study is on the screen and also on the church app. So if you have the church app, this is a good time to open up the church app. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 16 to 21. Let me read the word of God. I will pray and I'll get to work. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lay down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Verse 18, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself, that they might declare my praises. Father God, as I begin to expound your word, I stand before you in fear and trembling that you would use me to speak this prophetic word to your people on this day. I pray, God, that we will hear your voice as we study the text. Will you help me? Will you settle my nerves? Will you speak mightily through me? I thank you again, always, for the honor and privilege to be able to teach and preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There is a structure that we may not see in the text, but the original audience will always see this. In Bible language, it's this chiastic structure. It's like a triangle where the opposite ends are like mirror images. They run in parallels and they come together and they meet at the apex. And the apex, the crux of the passage is where we get the teaching points. And that's the emphasis. So if you study the Bible, you notice there's a lot of chiastic structures throughout the Old Testament and in Jesus' teaching. And right here, this is what we see. I want to teach you that. Look in verse 16 and 17 at the very beginning. What happens here is that the prophet Isaiah is pointing back to what took place in Exodus chapter 14 and 15 when God would deliver his people out of Egypt. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. That's a picture of what? When Moses would what? Part the Red Sea. Is that right? He brings forth the chariot and the horse. This is the Egyptian army, the armies and the warriors. What? They are now laid down. In other words, the water crushes over them. They cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like wick. Can you see that? So what Isaiah is doing is pointing back to the powerful hand of God in deliverance when they left Egypt. Now, if we go to the very end of this passage, we see the mirror image. Now, look in verse 20 and 21. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself, that they may declare my praise. So here's the context here. If you remember, God's people now have been in exile in Babylon for 70 years. It's like deja vu. Thousands of years before that, they were oppressed by the Egyptians, and now they're being oppressed by the Babylonians. And God is about to deliver them and set them free. Remember that, right? If we read the Bible, we realize that God would let his people leave Babylon. He delivers them in Egypt. He's going to deliver them in Babylon. Can you see the image? Can you see the parallel? The structure helps us to see God's past activity in deliverance and points to God's promise of present delivery in Babylon. How does he do that? It's the crux. It's the apex. It's the chiastic center. And we see the answer in verse 18 and 19. And that's what I want to teach you. And that's the vision for our church. Let's go to 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Very interesting. I mean, just previously he was reminding them of the past, but now he says, forget it. That's like me saying to my kids, hey kids, remember last Christmas? When Dad saved up, a lot of hard work, I bought a swimming pool, you had fun, now forget that. Forget that, I'm doing a new thing, can't you see it? That's what we see in the text, and that's so strange. And this is the key here, listen carefully. God was about to do a new thing in the lives of his people, and he did not want them to limit it to what he has done in the past. You see, God did not want his people to be tied down with the miracles of the past, and he wants to open up their minds to the possibility of the things that he would do today. God's people, they were stuck in Babylon 70 years, and this time, God's going to let his people leave, but it's very, very different. It's the reversal. Let me try to explain that. You see, in the past, Egypt, God sent Moses to remove the water. Now, God's going to bring the water into the dry land. You see, in the past, God met their needs by removing the water so they could walk on dry land. Now, God's going to meet their needs by sending water into the dry land as they would leave Babylon and head back home. See, what God was saying is this, is that what I'm going to do now is going to be very different to what I've done in the past, but it's still going to be deliverance. Yeah. And I really believe that God is doing a new thing. And I really believe that for a lot of us, we're tying God down to the miracles of the past. Oh, I know how God's going to operate because I've experienced it in the past already. I know what God's going to do next because I've already seen it done in the past. And God doesn't want us to limit Him. God doesn't want us to tie Him down to the things of the past, but let Him do what He needs to do in the present so that there's breakthrough, so that there's deliverance. I look at this church here and I believe that God is doing a new thing. This is a new chapter for our church. We've done 10 years already. The last decade's gone. We're starting a new decade. This is a new season. I see new faces here. Some of you I've never met before. We're going to commission new leaders. God is doing a new thing. Can you see what He is doing? He's doing a new thing in our church. He's doing a new thing in your life. The question is, can you see it? I was talking to Simon just during the week, and Simon was saying to me, in his Connect group, God's already doing a new thing in some of the members in his Connect group. Do you know that God is doing a new thing in your life today? The question is, can you see it? Do you perceive it? What has God been saying to you the last few weeks, the last few months, over the Christmas, New Year breaks? I'm very sure God has spoken to you. He's doing a new thing. Can you see it? Do you know what He wants to do in your life? Let's not be a church where we're like, oh, I remember the good old days. Oh, 10 years ago when we had to set up and pack down, and today we've got our own building. There's no need for that. I'm so content. I came here looking for a community, and now I've got some good friends, lifelong friends. I'm so content. I'm in a small group, and there's 10 of us, and we love each other. We're so content. I came here single, ready to mingle, and now I've got a husband, I've got 2 kids. I'm content. Don't be content. Don't tie God down with the miracles of the past, but begin to open up your mind for what God can do today. God is up to something new today, Sun Life Church. He wants to do something new in our church. This is a new decade. This is a new chapter. This is a new season. I believe God is up to something new. Can you see it? Can you see it? Don't tie God down and say, well, I'm just happy with how I've been a Christian. I'm just happy, just cruising into the day when God will take me home. Friends, no. No. God wants to do a new thing in your life, in my life, in our church. Maybe, I could be wrong here, but maybe over the last few weeks, God is saying, I want to see a new love for me. Maybe it's new habits. Maybe it's new thinking. Maybe it's new friendship. Maybe it's new witness. Maybe it's new act of service. And I love what our creative director was saying. You know what? God has been speaking to Jordan about being in the Word. That's a new habit. What is God wanting to do new in you today? And can I say this, that the journey is not going to be easy? It's not like we wake up tomorrow and say, okay, I'm going to do a new thing and that's it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be challenging. But you got to take small steps. I'm very sure that when God said to His people, leave Babylon, for some of them, they didn't want to go. They were very content living in Babylon. You know that, right? 70 years, if you were born in Babylon and you grew up there and you had a business there, you don't want to go. In fact, the distance from Babylon back to Jerusalem was 1,500 kilometers. It's a long journey. It's in the wilderness. There are animals out there. Who's going to look after us? What about the wild beasts? We need water. But every step was a step of faith. Every step God provided them. God protected them. God gave them water. Every step, it had to start somewhere. And for some of us, God wants to do a new thing in your life. You got to start one step at a time. One step at a time. Don't wait for that day where you're going to wake up and, yep, that's it. I'm new. No, no, no. Sorry. One step at a time. Every step is a step of faith, and I guarantee you, you will get there. You know, we got to Queensland. I got to Queensland, and I'll share this example here. I've been driving now for nearly 3 decades, 30 years of driving now, and the first 20 years, I've been driving a manual. I love driving a manual. Stick, clutch, love it. But the last 10 years, I don't know whether it's just an age thing. I've just gone automatic. I don't know. No stick, no clutch. It's a lot easier. You know what I mean? And by the way, if you drive automatic and you can't drive a manual, you are so loved here. God loves you a lot. You're still saved by the grace of God. Anyhow, I land into Brisbane and a good friend of mine picks me up. This is day one, and he's a pastor. He's so gracious. He goes, "Hey, Pastor Ben, take my car. You can have it for your entire sabbatical." And I'm like, "Wow, you're so good." Little did I know it was a manual. Yeah. Now picture that old lady or that old man that spends too much time getting out of the shopping car park. That was me. Oh, it was just so hard, you know. And can you picture my wife when she got to Noosa and poor Tran is now trying to drive a manual? Oh, my poor wife. Honey, which one's the clutch again? Where's gear one, gear two? How come I keep storing the car? And I'm like, yeah, I get it. I'm like you as well. You know, like I remember just trying to get out of the car park. It was like, where is gear one? How do I do the clutch? How do I find that friction point? How come I keep stalling the car? It was like one step at a time. I got to gear one, I got to gear two and three, four. A lot of stalling in between. But after a few weeks of driving, I realized it was like, I was enjoying this. I was enjoying this. And then I caught up with Dexter, Pastor Dexter, and he let me drive his automatic car. And I'm slamming the brakes as if it's the clutch. And it's like, you know, like, you get so used to it. And you begin to realize that this was normal. And this was actually enjoyable. And I'm doing something new. But it starts with small steps, one step at a time. And you will make mistakes. And you will struggle, but every step, God's going to get you through. You see, the people of God, when they were asked to leave Babylon, they had to go in faith. Every little step was a step of faith. And I believe for some of us, that's what God wants us to do. And I'm thinking about this during the week, that for those in Babylon who did not want to go because they were so comfortable and they said, no, I don't want to change, I want to stay there, that wasn't God's intention for them. God did not want them to live on pagan land. God wanted them home. And they had to resist the temptation to stay there, but to start walking in faith to get back home. For some of us, can I say this prophetically? That you don't want to change. You're comfortable and you like the way things are at. God has more for you. God wants more. That's not God's intention for you to stay put. He wants you to keep taking one step at a time, as He begins to help you bring something new. And that's for us all here. I want you to understand that this year, God is doing a new thing. The theme for us this year is the word renew. Renew. For a lot of us, maybe we've been pause, cruise control. Renew. That's the next slide there for the vision here. We want to be renewed in what we do. Let me finish off by taking us to Paul's writing in Galatians chapter 6. Paul says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." You see, friends, God is doing a new thing in your life, in my life, in this church here. We either resist it or we say, no, I'm going to really trust God and I'm going to take one step at a time. But as you begin to sow it, as you begin to live it out, the Bible is very clear. You will reap something. Theologian Cornelius Pantinga, he says this in Galatians 6. He says, "No matter what we sow, the law of return applies. Good or evil, love or hate, grapes or thorns, compliment or complaint. Whatever we invest, we tend to get it back with interest. Lovers are loved, haters hated. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow." And it is so true. Whatever God is doing new in your walk today, and I really believe for some of us, God has already spoken it loud and clear. Start sowing that one step at a time. Be faithful. It's not going to happen overnight. Sowing something, a seed, the plant will not sprout overnight. It takes time. But if you're constant, consistent, you will reap the reward. And I want you to understand that. The flesh will say, no, give up. The flesh will say, no, let's not change. The flesh will say, no, let's go back to the past. No, no. The Spirit says, no. This is the new thing that God is doing. Pursue it one step at a time. And as we do that, I really believe that this is a year where God will do a new thing. I love what Jordan was saying earlier on, the desire to read the Word of God more. That's a beautiful desire. You see, if God has placed that in your heart, that's the new thing that you should aim for this year. For some of us, maybe it's just new friendships. For some of us, maybe it's just new service. For some of us, it's just to be a new neighbor to the neighbor that we have lived next to for how many years that we've never said hi to. Whatever it is, it takes small steps. If you want to love God more through His Word, have new habits. Maybe have the Bible next to your bed instead of your mobile phone. Maybe set reminders so that you have these regular reminders throughout the day to open up Scripture. Maybe have someone to keep you accountable to read the Bible regularly. I don't know whatever it is, but figure it out. Speak to someone and start taking those baby steps. As you begin to do that, I really believe that this is a year where God will do a new thing in you. And if we collectively do that, then there will be a new thing in our church. Your new thing will be different to my new thing. Just pick one thing. Don't go, I've got half a dozen new things that I want to try. No, it's not gonna work. Just pick one thing and take your time. You know, if God has said to you, this year, I want you to be a new person when you're leading your business or your company. Okay, well, smile. Start by smiling. I don't know. Start by eye contact. Just start doing something consistently, step at a time, and trust that God will do the rest. And that's the new thing that God has in store for our church here. And ultimately, my dream is that at the end of this year, we live as new creations, people living for the glory of God and the good of those around us. That's what we like to do. And so what I want to do now is I want to encourage you with a survey. So if you have your phone, what you can do is you can scan this QR code right here. Okay. And as you begin to fill this out, so we'll give some time to do this. If you don't have your phone and you would like just to write it on a piece of paper, please raise up your hands because we've got the card and someone will give you the card and a pen to fill this out. But as you do this, right, what will happen is that we will collect the information and we'll begin to look at it and we will know what's the new thing that God is longing to do in your life. And if it's consistent, if it's like it's the same thing, like 70% of Sun Lifers want or believe that this is the new thing that God has in store for them, that's something as a church we're going to pursue. So I want to give you some time to do that. The worship team is going to just play some music. But take your time. Fill out the questionnaire. Okay? Read it carefully. Okay? There's a link up there if you want to type up the link, or you can scan the QR code. If none of that works and you want a pen and paper, raise up your hand. We'll get you a pen and paper. But as you begin to do this, what will happen is that the staff will collect the information and we will know collectively as a church, what has God been saying? What's the new thing that God wants to do in this church here? And we're going to pursue that together. I know for myself, there's a few new things that we want to try as a family. And I'm pretty sure that over the last few weeks, God has already been speaking to you. And this morning's message is just a confirmation of what God has been saying to you. And I pray that God will begin to do a new thing in our church. The Word of God says this, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Let's spend some time and just respond. Fill out that questionnaire. We're going to collate that. And we're going to really pursue that as a church together. After this, I'm going to pray for the leaders and commission our amazing leaders at Sun Life Church. So please take your time. No rush. Spend the next few minutes just to do this.